You're listening to Burst, Bournemouth internet radio station.
Hello and welcome to Burst. We are in the Alan Brown studio at Bournemouth University. I'm Lewis.
And I'm Toby. And behind the scenes, we have Nick, Jacob and Troy. We are the Burst 2020 team.
It's a special year for us as we are celebrating 20 years of Burst. And this is our first interview of 2020. And we have a fantastic guest, David Tyler, from the BBC radio quiz show, The Third Degree. So, first of all, hello, David, and thank you for coming into the studio.
Oh, no, pleasure. Thank you very much.
I come from Nigeria and British radio is very new to me. So can you briefly tell us what The Third Degree is about?
I can. It's a quiz show on BBC Radio 4. And the idea is we go to different universities and then we have a team of three members of staff versus three students. And each of the students is studying one of the subjects that the three staff teaches. So it's a mixture of general knowledge and then specialist subjects as well. So the Radio 4 listener will be impressed by the general knowledge and then stunned by the specialist subjects because they won't understand a word of it. But they'll feel somehow that the world is in the right place if people are clever enough to know this stuff. Is my theory, anyway.
Thank you, sounds good. Are you mid-tour at the moment?
I love the word tour. Yes, oh, that's brilliant. No, yes, yeah, so we've got sweatshirts printed and everything. This is actually the second in this series. We've done 10 series, but being Radio 4, it comes around once a year, so commissions for comedy and entertainment shows tend to be, you know, once a year or once every 18 months. It's not a sort of factory. It's not like a daily show or a DJ show or a phone-in. So we do it, six shows a year, and this is recording two. Yeah, we were at Reading last week.
Okay, very good. And how's it going?
Reading was splendid. Tonight will be splendid. And then we're at Imperial next week. So, yeah, I mean, every place is always very different, which is really nice. Different vibe and different people. And I'm looking forward to it.
So how long have you known Steve?
Okay, so before all your parents met, I would say. I met Steve in 1981. Which was when there were horseless carriages and television hadn't been invented and we all breathed nitrogen and the dinosaurs had only just died out. So we actually met at university and he sort of, we were both trying to write and perform comedy and so we got together that way and we sort of worked together on and off on various shows ever since.
What inspired this show?
This is one incredibly rare thing. I shouldn't really say this, but it's an incredibly rare moment when an executive or a grown-up, as it were, because I tend to think everyone who's making shows are the grown-ups, actually say it was a commissioning seminar thing for Radio 4. And the then controller, who's a very smart guy called Mark Damaser, said we ought to be doing something with universities. Universities are great places where the next generation of Radio 4 listeners are coming from. So we ought to do something with them. And I sort of then I got a bit bored. So I sort of thought of the show while everyone else was nattering on. And I sort of thought up the bare bones of it at that point. So actually, yes, inspired by an executive. For all the executives out there, thank you.
What's the story behind the title of The Third Degree?
Oh, it just turned up. Actually, titles are weird. They either turn up straight away and are just perfect. I mean, the idea being, obviously, it's a pun. You have The Third Degree being, I think, American police slang for very severe interrogation. But obviously, it's a pun in as much as the students have the first degree and then the members of staff might have taken a second degree. And this is, so it's a pun. It's a pun. I'm sorry. Yes, I can't pretend. But titles tend to come either very fast or very, very slowly and painfully of years and years of committees shouting about it. And that one came pretty quickly.
So in Nigeria, this type of show would normally be done on TV. So can you tell us why do the show on radio instead of TV?
Because they said yes. No other reason. In the UK, all commissioning or all programmes of this sort or entertainment stuff are done on commissioning basis, which means that they're not made speculatively. So in the UK, you'll go to a broadcaster and say, please, Dad or Mum, can we make our show, please? And it'll cost this much. And they'll either say yes or no. And so if someone says yes, you're doing it. As opposed to, say, in the States where you have a studio system where the studio themselves would make the show and pay for it and then sell it onwards. So the people who sort of funded the pilot of Friends are now wealthy because it worked. But the other 199 pilots that season that didn't work, they lost their money. So it really is a question of who gets to say yes first.
So why do you come to universities and record on location rather than invite people to a central studio?
There'd be any sort of sense of occasion, really. And I think it would be an effort to get the audience coming down, you know, to sort of say to everyone else who happens to be in Bournemouth that afternoon, oh, do you want to come to London on the 14th of blah to watch something? University Challenge, which is an obvious thing to talk about, has, you know, been established for so long. And I think with the television recording, literally millions of people might know that they could go and watch it. I think radio is a slightly smaller enterprise in that regard. And it's also nice. and means we get to throw lots of wires around.
Okay, and do you get a little bit of time to spend in the places you go? Are you going to go to the beach?
No, not very much. Not as much as I'd like. Not as much as I like in Bournemouth and other places. Very pleased to get in and leave again. Nothing against Reading. It's just you go to Reading and then you do record the show and then grab something from Sainsbury's on the train platform and you go home again. We have seen some beautiful places though as well. I mean, Aberdeen was notably beautiful. There you go. I'm plugging Aberdeen in Bournemouth. That's no help to anyone.
What is the future of radio in your opinion?
Clearly, podcasts have happened and they're a thing. And radio, speech radio I didn't ignore them. It just mildly gazed at them in bemused indifference for about 3 or 4 years. And then they finally noticed that actually that's where everyone is devoting their energies. So what Radio 4, which is the national speech network, so the thing I'm talking about, has done very cleverly is create this thing called BBC Sounds, which is both a archive thing for older programmes and a commissioning and an original commissioner of podcasts, and also an acquirer and distributor of already existing podcasts like Carrier Lloyd's Griefcast or Beef and Dairy Network, or that sort of stuff is now on BBC Sounds too. So the answer is, to your original question, is unbounded its future, but different, I think.
Okay, talking about the show again, how much improvisation and preparation goes into the jokes?
That's an interesting question. They're written. And then the skill of the host is to dot around them a little bit. First of all, you want to be able to react to what's just happened. There's nothing worse, I think. Well, there's lots of things worse, but a bad thing is when the host reacts mechanically, independent of what happened, whether there was something funny about the answer or funny that somebody knew it or didn't know it. The host ignores that and then just ploughs on with their eyes locked to the script. It's a great skill that Steve Punt, the host, has to, as you say, improvise or dance on top of what's actually happening live in the room. And then obviously it's all editable afterwards, so some of the jokes are okay and some go really, really well, and then we edit it down to time because we have to edit it quite a lot to get it fit, the 28 minute slot.
Is the game a little rigged in favour of the lecturers?
Well, actually, no, it's a very reasonable question to which there's a very stern answer, and all seriousness, in as much as I can be serious for any moment, a quiz is different to a panel game in the nomenclature. So a panel game, the guests are usually celebrities or people who are known or performers, and the points are silly and doesn't matter, and the chair can go, and that's 1,000,000 points for that, and it's a game, as the name suggests. A quiz, which involves members of the public, effectively, under the general term of compliance and trust, which are key values to the BBC, has to be real, should be real anyway, otherwise what's the point? It's the real scores, it really is what people said, the points are that we broadcast are the points that people got, so I don't know what'll happen. And students sometimes win, yep. So I've no idea what'll happen. So no, not rigged either way, in fact.
The Third Degree's 10-year anniversary next year, I believe.
This is actually our 10th series. This is the 10th series,
okay.
Yes.
Have you got any plans to celebrate that?
I'm going to fall asleep at the end of the recordings for a little while because they're very tiring and writing the scripts takes a long time. No, what we usually do is have a mighty train picnic, particularly if you're coming back from somewhere that's got a decent 3-hour train journey like Durham or somewhere. And then we load up with lots of exciting crisps and have a train picnic. That's the height of radio celebration. That's as glamorous as it gets, is a radio, is a train picnic. Okay. So that's our celebration.
Who comes up with the questions?
I write the general knowledge questions, and then we have a specialist question setter who does the subjects, and which I then also work on with him. So usually what happens is that once we've chosen the teams and chosen the subjects, I'll then ring him up and say, oh, this week it's physics, German and business studies or something. And he has, or whatever it is. And I mean, here tonight, it's, I need to remember, nursing, economics and psychology. And then he either goes, oh, goody, or winces according to whether it's something he knows about. And then he goes and reads and reads and reads and reads and comes up with questions.
How do you deal with criticism in your professional life?
That's interesting. I suppose it depends what you mean by criticism. Either very badly or very badly, depending on the kind of criticism, I would say. You can get a bad review for a show and you react to that by screaming and then going around to the critic's house and burning their house down. Or if it's just someone on the net or on social media slagging it off, then you track them down and have them killed. That's, simple, basic things like that.
It wasn't the answer we were expecting, but okay. Glad you're
it wasn't
being
the
honest.
Answer I was expecting. Okay. I mean, the truth is that the old shows can be criticised. I usually, I'd like to think that everyone liked it. If there's something wrong with it, you usually know first and you fix it.
Okay, great. What's the best thing about working with radio?
The pay. It's enormous. It's unbounded.
Really?
Literally the opposite. What's the best thing? Having done both, having worked in radio and television, one of the really nice things, not the best thing necessarily, one of the really nice things is that there's certainly in the tradition of Radio 4, comedy and entertainment, is there's not much interference from execs. And usually the execs are very smart. So you can sort of do your own thing, make your own mistakes, certainly, but it means you don't have to take lots and lots of notes from everyone. It's a very cheeky thing to say, but it's true. That's a good thing. The other really nice thing, particularly about Radio 4, is that in terms of taste and decency and what you can say and what you can't say, the assumption is that the listener is smart. If you talk to the compliance editor, the person who you might discuss points of taste or points of decency or points of legality, they will say, for example, if there's an ironic point, like about having people killed who criticise the show, the default setting is that the Radio 4 listener will clearly know I was being ironic. So nobody has to call the police to say I've incited someone to violence, for example.
So do you believe the show inspires students to challenge their lecturers?
I think students are quite startled when they suddenly realise they do know something and that it is perfectly within their possibility. And that's always really nice. We love it when, and I think the listener likes it when the students get stuff right as well, because it's, they want to have faith that universities are doing what they should do. And that learning is learning. And so when people come across as erudite or intrigued or involved in their subject or say they really like their subject, I think that's true. That's a good thing in truth. And it's also a good thing in program making terms. It just makes everyone feel nice, as it should, because it is nice.
Okay. And do you think that universities have changed at all over the course of the program?
Yeah, they've gone vegan. Yeah, mainly. That's the main change. You can't get a hamburger in the cafe. They've changed because universities, by definition, being by and large filled with people who are the first time they're leaving home and they're defining themselves politically and socially and emotionally, and tend to be in the forefront of social change, social movement, attitudes to all sorts of different things. So yeah, they're the first place where you'll see it. I think so. Yes, they have changed. It's always very exciting to know what morass you're about to step into by mistake.
So how has the show evolved over the years?
Not very much, actually. If this isn't the case, then no one's told me so yet. We seem to have sort of hit a bullseye fairly early on in terms of the format, and it's not actually changed. I mean, the ratio of questions hasn't changed. The pace of it hasn't really changed, even the way we do it, which may just mean that it's sort of fine. There isn't any urgent thing I addressed at any point, actually. And I think that's partly in the nature of quizzes. Their format tends not to change once it works. Most of the change is usually done in the pilots, which nobody ever sees. So University Challenge hasn't changed at all, you know, since it was on air first in, I don't know, late 60s or whenever it was.
Okay, well, thank you for coming into the Burst studio today to speak to us, and good luck with the show recording.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yes, I ought to go and do that, I suppose, at some point. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.